Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right. Well, hey, great to be with you here this morning. We are done with Revelation for now. And moving into some other things, of course, we had Barry and Lori here last week, but I want to kind of jump off of what I was sharing with Revelation a bit and what Jesus shared with us in Revelation, actually, and take the next week or two, or three, we'll see, to talk about something else that fits together with really everything that God has in his heart and mind and especially through the book of Revelation, is what was revealed was his tender love and his care for us, the body, the bride that he is preparing for and preparing us to be with him about. And so I want to jump off from there and talk some today about the purpose for which you were made, you and I both. In the very beginning, as you know, God spoke words and things became something that were not previously. He spoke into nothing, and planets and stars and galaxies and solar systems came into being. He spoke the earth into being and separated the waters from above from the waters that were below, and spoke land into existence and spoke animals into existence and birds into existence with all of their detail, and all the creatures of the sea were spoken by God, words that turn into a reality from the imagination in his mind. That's power. That's how everything was made. And then, after God made all of these things, he came near and walked on the thing that he just spoke into existence, called earth. And in the garden that he had spoken into existence, that had thousands of trees for fruit, I'm sure rich soil, who knows what everything was like in that paradise place. But he then did something really different than speaking and being distant, is he knelt down in the soil that he'd made and he starts gathering it with his hands. He's touching now, not just speaking to something. He's intimate in touch. He's touching and forming and shaping, and he creates the first man, the first human. And then once he forms this person that looks like himself, made in his image, in his own image, as he's kneeling down, I can see this anyway, he picks him up, at least from the head part and upper body, and puts his mouth on the mouth of this first human that's just clay, dirt, dirty, and releases what is in him into what is in now inside this clay, life breath. And with that breath of life, I believe that's where the heart started to beat. The blood began to flow and eyes opened. And the very first person saw was God this close. Face to face. Near, close. Didn't speak man, let there be man. He never said, let there be man. He got near, he got close, he formed, he shaped, he breathed, he touched, he kissed mankind. And here we are. That's how God started this whole thing. He sees humans so differently than we see ourselves, so differently than he sees animals or anything else. There is something extremely special about humans, even more than the angels, The angels are listening now and watching and seeing everything that's going on here and working as servants of God on behalf of the saints. Amazing. You and I have a uniqueness, and God has always wanted to be so very near to us. He made humankind. He made Adam and Eve for fellowship, for his enjoyment, for our enjoyment. Not that he's lonely, but he desires fellowship. He desires communion and closeness, and he so wants relationship that he made us after he made the world for us. So he made a place for us, and then he made us. And then he made not only the place for us to be, but the place he came down and was walking with them. He didn't stop there at breathing and causing life to come. He then went on an amazing journey with Adam and Eve. We don't know how long it happened in the Garden of Eden before they sinned, but there was some time where they were doing some adventures together. How about this? What would it take for you to be with God to name every creature on the entire planet, everywhere on the planet, under the ocean and in the sky? That is an adventure. I think before the aqualung was invented in the 1960s, God had some sort of something for Adam to show him under the seas all the fish and says, name those. That's wild, mind-blowing. Adam named, the Bible tells us, Adam named all the creatures. There were some adventuring with God. This wasn't just a God that made him and said, have fun in the garden. This is a God that was near and walking with and being with and adventuring and exploring and discovering and fellowshipping with the King of the universe. It's how this started, and it is how it is supposed to be. It's what is in God's heart was that. Of course, mankind sinned. They get removed from the garden as they rebelled against God and believed the snake rather than the Savior. And things changed. That separation that Ryan and Andrea were talking about, that veil appeared between God and mankind. But still in God's heart, all along, it's been, how can I be near them again? How can they be near me? What must I do to enable them to be close again? Then you see these glimpses of closeness that people have with God who choose to walk with him. Adam and Eve chose not to walk with him. Seven generations later, Adam and Eve's great, 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 great grandson, Enoch. Remember Enoch? Very short statement about him in the Bible. Genesis 5:24, I think, says this: Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Enoch is, well, think about this too. Enoch's grandpa, great, 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 great grandpa, Adam, was still alive. Adam was 325 at that point. He lived to 930, so he still had 600 years of living. So that grandpa, I'm sure, was telling stories about garden life, Garden of Eden life. And I think this grandson, this is my guess, I'm speculating, but I think this grandson is like wide-eyed. You walked with God? I want to do that. Something happened inside of Enoch that he wanted to have that type of relationship that his grandfather used to have. Because he did. It says that Enoch walked with God. That is speaking of not just a walk around the block, That is speaks of a journey with God where there's fellowship and there's exchange and interchange. Enoch chose that. So much so that Enoch is walking with God one day, and one step is here, and the next step is in heaven. Whoop! He gets translated in a second to, next thing you know, Enoch is now walking in the spirit realm with God, and he's no longer on the earth because God wanted him closer. God's desire to be with someone, Enoch said, I want to be that person. I want to be close to you. I want to walk with you. Not do my thing wanting you to bless me only. I want to walk with you. I want to do this together. I want to know you. Abraham was first Abram before God renamed him. Listened, heard from God, and went on a journey as a 75-year-old. 1,200 miles to go up to Haran and then over to Canaan. 1,200-mile journey. For those who are 75 or older, think about that one for a second. Taking off with your family, walking, not driving. 1,200 miles through all kind of crazy territory. Listening to, hearing, following God, having experiences with God. God inviting him outside one night, said, I want you to look up, son, at the sky. How many stars can you count? You're going to have more children than you can count stars. Starts communicating with him. All these instructions and promises and experience. And one day, Abraham's sitting down, and here he sees three strangers. It's God and two angels. They show up. They have, Abraham went and grabbed some food, makes him a meal, and they all eat. They're talking. They have fellowship. Then God starts looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, starts talking to the angels. Abraham joins the conversation. And he says, but what if they're 50 righteous, or 40, or 30, or 20, or 10 righteous? Will you not destroy them? He enters in the conversation with God. Abraham walked with God. Moses, out of curiosity, see something on fire that's not consumed. And his curiosity gets the better of him. And he goes over there. He says, I turned aside to see this sight. And God speaks to him, gives him a promise, gives him a calling, gives him a purpose. And this reluctant leader says yes after a while of saying no. And he ends up walking with God in an amazing way for 40 years, leading people, walking with God. You know, he climbed the mountain 8 different times, crawled all the way up on the top of Mount Sinai. Some of those times spending 40 days and 40 nights just with God. No eating, no drinking, just God. God was his eating, God was his drinking. 40 days and 40 nights at a time with God, hearing him. Of course, we have the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy because of Moses. So I think during those journeys, he was hearing from him, and I'm guessing experiencing creation in visual ways so that he could write all this down as to what God did in Genesis and beyond. Moses chose to walk with God. And then here we have the Lord saying, okay, in one of those times on the mountain, the Lord gives him all of the specifications for a tabernacle where God can get closer to people. Do you realize that that was what this was about in many ways? Was how can I, here's God on top of the mountain talking to one person, how can I get closer to the people that I love and they don't know I love them? So Moses built this tabernacle, which of course is a picture of something in the future that's going to come. But build this place, build this tent in the middle of Israel, right in the middle. And then God went from his presence showing up on the mountain to his presence showing up in the tent. And only one could go into the Holy of Holies, but the presence of the Lord would come down, and they would see fire above that as a pillar up into the sky. As the presence of God would be there, people would, it says in the Bible, would stand outside their tents and watch this pillar of fire coming down from heaven. This was, the veil was there, but God was wanting to be close to them. He was wanting to be near us. He was wanting to be there near them. Yet he has been rejected billions of times. Think about how much rejection God has had. From his own people, and from people who aren't his, from people over generations and thousands of years rejecting him over and over and over, and he doesn't have a complex. And he's still not lonely, yet his heart is to be near those that he made in the beginning and that he has a whole plan for, and the effort and energy and time and patience and love that he has shown for us is over the top. David, remember David, spent his time watching his dad's sheep, but he also was getting to know God as a teenager. Out in the fields, worshiping, playing his harp, talking to God, and that relationship continued with him throughout his entire life. So much so that God says of him that there's a man after my heart. He's after me. Man who pursued God, who did things that shouldn't have been able to be done, like eating the food that only the priests should eat. David could get away with. David had a relationship with God that was unique in the time. In his generation, says in Acts 13, 36, he served God in his generation before he passed away. David walked with God. Of course, there's Noah and Elijah and Samuel and Elisha. Several others are recorded as having fellowship with God, hearing his voice, having encounters with God. Yet only a fraction of people in every generation, in the Old Testament in particular, actually walked with God. I know there was the veil, but there were some people who were able to live a new covenant life by faith in getting to know God, even though the veil was there. David was one of those. And then, through unexplainable supernatural miracle, the Son of God is sent from heaven as a microscopic seed by the Holy Spirit, implanted in a woman named Mary in her womb, and she births the Savior of the world, the Son of God, to heal every heart and every wound. He grows to be a man, shows all who follow him how to live in fellowship with God. So Jesus comes as a reminder. He does many things, but one of the things he came to do was to remind us why we're here. And the privilege and the opportunity to get to know his dad and to know him. This was a huge part of Jesus' mission, not just to pay for our sins, though that was huge. Show the way of salvation, but he was showing us, all of mankind, how to have fellowship with his dad, with his father, with our father. It's a big part of what Jesus came to do. It says of Jesus himself in Luke 5:16, but Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. One of my favorite scriptures of many. Jesus would often slip away. He would disappear on his guys. And as you read the Gospels, you find they're looking for him sometimes. Where did Jesus go? Well, he slipped away again. And he's hanging out with his father. Jesus is showing us how to live and how to have a relationship with his father, because he said, I want you to experience the love that I experienced from him. I want you to live in that love. And you too can slip away. you too can have this relationship with my Father that includes a lot of adventuring, a lot of revelation from him, and this unique walk with him. Jesus reframes God by sharing that he is approachable, that he desires to have relationship, and he wants to know us. He wants to walk with us. He wants us to walk with him. Just before that tearing of the veil that Ryan was talking about earlier, right before that happened, Jesus prayed a prayer. His most famous prayer, John 17, is the recording of Jesus' last prayer before he's crucified. And in it, he says in verse 3, "This is eternal life." So if you want to know what eternal life is, here's what it is. "That they," all of us, "may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent." Eternal life isn't a prayer to be repeated. Eternal life is fellowship and communion with the Father and the Son. That's completely different. It's completely different than praying a prayer. It's fellowship with God himself in the person of the Father, in the person of the Son, by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So many times, salvation gets turned into a few words that we say, when Jesus defines it entirely differently. He says, it's about knowing my dad and knowing me. This is eternal life. You start a relationship with me, you begin your eternal life. Because that's what we were made for. So when that begins, that's the beginning of eternal life. It's the springboard. See, knowledge about God and believing in God is the springboard into relationship with God. It's not supposed to just stay with knowledge. Knowledge about God is great. In fact, we're supposed to grow in the knowledge of God, Paul said. But growing in the knowledge of God should lead us to more relationship with God, not just knowledge about. Jesus turned to his disciples and he said this in John 15, "I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master's thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father." That is a mind-blowing passage. There's no religion like this in the world. There's nothing like this where God himself says, "I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. I call you my friends," Jesus is saying to his followers. "I'm calling you friends." Here he is, King of the universe. King of the universe with all authority in heaven and in earth. And he says, "You're not just servants. I'm not calling you that. I'm calling you friends." You want to know what your highest calling on the earth in your life is? It's this right here, to be the friend of God. The friend of God is my highest calling. I love my calling as a pastor. I love my calling as a husband and a dad. But my ultimate calling is to be the friend of God. That's your ultimate calling. We all have the same calling. To be the friend of God, the one who walks with him, the one who walks with him, who does what he made us to do. I'm going to read a sobering verse. This is Matthew chapter 7 in the Amplified, starting with verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven." This is Jesus speaking these words. Verse 22, "Many will say to me on that day." What day is he speaking of? We just went through this in Revelation. This is the day when he returns and the dead and the living are judged or rewarded. Those in Jesus are rewarded. Those who don't know Jesus, there's judgment. He says, "On that day, many will say, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name And that also could be translated preached in your name. And driven out demons in your name. And done many mighty works in your name. And then I will say to them openly, publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who act wickedly. You disregarded my commands. I never knew you. Relationship is what God refers to, what Jesus refers to in our reward ceremony or our judgment. It's, did we know him? That is remarkable. It's sobering. It's beautiful. And it's sobering at the same time. Because you can do a bunch of good things and never know God. That's basically, to summarize that passage. We can do a bunch of good things, a bunch of religious things, and not walk with God and not be his friend and not know him. And that is the state none of us want to be in. We all want to, desire to know him the way that he wants us to know him. A danger for every believer in God is to be a believer only. Many believe there's a God. Most, I would say, believe there's a God. The Bible says even the demons believe there's a God. That's not the highest thing. But we've been given the privilege to not just believe, but our belief being a springboard into relationship and knowing him. Knowing him. Being a son and a daughter. Turning into a friend of God. This is the journey of life. Once we meet him, is the journey of friendship with God. We'll talk more about that next week. But it's on my heart, and I shared with you at the beginning of this year, that one of the things the Lord was speaking to me about for all of us in this fellowship is that this would be a year of getting to know God, all of us, individually, more than we ever have. Of fulfilling his heart's desire, which is to know us. That we would walk with him. More than being a model citizen of the U.S. or the kingdom. More than being a churchgoer. We want to be sons and daughters who are in relationship with our God. See, religion is the opposite. And this is also a danger for all of us. Every single believer. There's the danger of religion, what I would say a religious spirit. Because religion is like an inoculation. You remember back Revolutionary War time when smallpox was rampant. They figured out something, started saving a lot of lives. They would give people kind of some of the pus of someone who had smallpox. They would give it in a healthy person. And it was enough to cause the system to react against that thing and provide an immunity against smallpox. It's called an inoculation. Well, religion gives you just enough God to be immune to him. That's what religion does. Just gives you enough. You think it's okay, but now it's like there's no relationship. There's no relationship. It just stays up here in the head. Yeah, I believe. No relationship. I do good things, no relationship. That's the danger, one of the dangers of religion. It turns into ritual and activity in order to try and be pleasing to God. Over the centuries, since the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Spirit, religious institutions and teachings have often provided a substandard way to live. Trying to do things out of works. I love that song we were singing earlier today. It's not me through my effort. It's not through me trying to do something to be pleasing to God. He's pleased by my faith. He's pleased because I'm a son and a daughter of his. He's pleased because of his son that's in me. I once went on a trip. I have this friend that I've done a few trips with going skiing. I like downhill skiing. And he goes to a Christian church. I won't tell you where. And in one of our conversations, I was talking about fellowship with God, with the Father. And he quickly dismissed that concept to mean, here's what he said, something to the degree of, the man upstairs is busy. He's got a lot of things going on in the world. He doesn't have any time, or does he desire to hear me or talk to me personally. He completely dismissed the concept that God wants to fellowship with us. He's completely missed the idea and the reason why we were made. And God's desire, he threw that away. And there was that conversation, though he is a believer in God, does not know him. And that is what, that's religion. Religion refers to the man upstairs, meaning that there's a separation. He's over there, we're here, he's busy, I'm doing my thing. May he bless me, but I'm going this way. I'm doing it the way that I think things should be done. I'm going to be a good person, the best ability that I can, but, and may he bless me. And if something is really desperate, I might sneak out of prayer. Right? That's what religion is. It's the inoculation against God. And that is what we cannot afford. None of us. And you're not that way. We were not born again for religion. We were rebirthed for life of encounters and discovery with the God of the universe who is in love with us. Every single one of us. To be infused with his joy. To be used by his Spirit to heal other people, like Beth was sharing today, and to help other people and to share the good, glad Mary news that causes someone else to leap for joy because God wants to be near them, not separate from them. The beautiful, powerful, world-bending gospel of the kingdom that we heard and that we get to share with others is basically this. That God loves those that he made. Even as our ancestors rejected God and we were born into sin, God sent his son Jesus to become sin so that we might become his righteousness. That we would be forgiven, reborn, so that we can enter in and abide in Jesus, God himself. And through that fellowship, we will hear his voice. We'll follow him. We'll have close relationship with him. And the purposes of God for our lives will be fulfilled as we walk in him in fellowship with him. That's basically the gospel. And that is so much more powerful than do a bunch of good stuff. It is first and always and preeminently relationship with the God of the universe. The gospel isn't about going to be in heaven. It's about opening our heart to receive heaven. It's not that I'm just going somewhere. I'm going to be with him as I receive him. And he now joins me and I join him, as John 15 says, and I live in him and eternity begins right there because it's this relationship, this knowing Jesus. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him." I'm bringing a dinner. "And dine with him and he with me." That's relationship. That's fellowship. The heart of God is expressed right there in that verse. From Genesis all the way through. Here's Revelation 3:20. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Would you open up the door? Yes. And receive me, and I'm bringing a meal with me. And we will have fellowship together. Fellowship with God. Your calling and my calling. I would say for most of us probably in this room, we fall into one of three categories. First category, those who have never forsaken their own ideas of how to live or turned to God and allowed Jesus to come into their lives. That would be the category, not just in this room, but of the world. Second one was, are those who are familiar with religion, who believe in God, may have made an effort to be a good person and do good things, but don't know him personally or follow him fully. Not a full follower or a friend yet. And then the third one are those who have forsaken their old ways of living, have died to themselves, accepted the Savior, opened up the door when he knocked and said, come on in to every part of my life, not just one room, era on a journey of knowing God, walking with him and becoming his friend. So we're probably in one of those three. And it is not, I want zero shame for anybody. There is therefore now no condemnation to anyone who is in Christ. All condemnation, all shame gone. What God has done from the beginning, even to now, just like him knocking on the door, is an invitation to something greater than what we currently have. If I'm not his friend, he's inviting us to be his friend. If I don't know him at all, he's inviting us to know him. He's inviting us to get rid of and jettison our old ways of living, our old ways of thinking, the sin that has grabbed a hold of us and we're bound by it. He's saying, you can let that go. I'm the sin chain breaker. I will break that off and set you free, fill you with my Spirit. He's invited all of us. For wherever we are, why don't we just pray here for a moment and just say, Lord, thank you for reminding us today of how you started with us, that you formed and fashioned and created us to be filled with yourself and to walk with you into eternity, and that we would be like Enoch, as it were, walking with you until we are changed and made like you all the way. Lord, I ask even for everyone in here today that we would take you up on your invitation. At whatever point we are in our life, whether it's I've never given my life to Jesus, I do that now, or whether it's I've been engaged in religion and I want that gone, I want relationship, or whether it's I have a relationship with God, but I want to be his friend. I want to be your friend. Lord, wherever we are, we just acknowledge where we are. And we say, Lord, I want you. I want to be your friend. I want you in my life. I want you in my marriage, in my home, in my job, in my car. I want you to fill every cavity of who I am internally. Every place in my heart and my life, in this house, this temple you've made, I invite you in. And Lord, I want to go on that journey, that exploratory life of discovery, that creative journey with you, where I hear your voice and where I really do know you as a friend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.